Mr. Kilman, I would like to talk about battery technique, because everybody are talking about batteries at the moment, and it has something to do with range, it has something to do with capacity and energy storage and all this. But I've heard something that you have been working very much into Utah about this SD technology. What is the state of the art, so to say, right now?
Talking about solid state batteries, yes, we have managed to complete the research phase to identify the chemistry that is robust enough to go into a pilot production stage. Pilot production stage does not mean that we will actually launch cars today already with that technology, but that we feel confident enough to really elaborate the detailed parameters that we will need on our future production line for each of the processes. Key point here is that in the connection between anode, electrolyte, and cathode, we need to make sure that there is no crack. Any crack in a solid-state battery, in a solid-state cell, would cause a significant deterioration of the battery capacity. And therefore, in the production process, we need to make sure that there's none of these cracks, and also that the cell is robust enough in the future life. That means charging and discharging in quite extreme currents that the solid-state battery can endure, that there will be no cracks, for example, due to the thermal stress being produced.
I could imagine also that the temperature has some sort of influence, because, I mean, some things happening when you're warming something up or cooling something down, and that could make a crack.
Exactly. These are the thermal stresses that come onto the battery. For example, when we have in Northern Europe very cold winter temperatures and we do a fast charging, there will be a very high thermal stress from cold to warm temperatures
in a short time.
And that is one of the key points, how to make sure that even though solid electrolyte, there is sufficient flexibility to compensate these thermal stresses. And for that, we have, together with our partner Idemitsu in Japan, we have identified the chemical formula that includes also a certain amount of sulfur to allow this flexibility.
And I'm quite sure you will achieve your goal, maybe within a couple of years or something. Anyway, when you achieve that, what can we as a consumer expect from these batteries? What is the improvement of capacity of use, daily life use, so to say?
Well, I think one of the key advantages of the solid-state batteries is, due to the solid electrolyte, inherently very high safety, so against thermal runaway, but especially also for fast charging and discharging capability. Fast charging means we can really reduce the waiting time to recharge a battery electric vehicle. For the discharging, the main advantage will be really that we can deliver a high power with a smaller type of battery. That would, of course, limit the range for a battery electric vehicle. But therefore, we need to look also in not only towards battery electric vehicles, especially for hybrid vehicles. Regenerative braking gives a high amount of energy that can be recuperated if the battery can be charged quickly. On the other hand, and also the acceleration requires a lot of power. The more power the battery can deliver, the less the internal combustion engine needs to support. And that means that a solid-state battery is not only aiming at battery electric vehicles. It may be even quicker in a hybrid electric vehicle.
And then we're into another part of the Toyota philosophy, to be a multi-technological company. I always had a very great respect because you took that step. You didn't just make a decision and said, now we're only producing battery electric cars, EVs, whatever we call it. But you have a lot of different techniques combined in this way of thinking.
Yes, we are really convinced that the fastest way to achieve carbon neutrality as a society cannot be by limiting ourselves to one technology, but we have to utilize all of the available technologies, all of the available brains to optimize these technologies to reduce the carbon in the atmosphere. And therefore, we think really we need to use battery electric vehicles where they are most appropriate, but also hybrid vehicles, plug-in hybrid vehicles that in the future will run on carbon neutral fuels where they are most appropriate, for example, for long distance driving.
You have a very good experience already. You have actually won, I think it's 4 World Rally Championships with carbon neutral fuel, and you have also some sort of battery electricity involved in these cars too. So you have a very big experience. So does that also mean that your overall strategy doesn't change a lot in the years to come when you have these new solid-state batteries?
Well, I think you mentioned very rightly that for us the motorsport is a test field for the extreme conditions that any customer might be able to do in the real world in the future. And that's why we use Rally World Endurance Championship in order to test technologies that we can bring then in, of course, a maybe less extreme way to the market in all of our vehicles. And very clearly, solid-state batteries will be part of our future portfolio, but I think it is important to understand they will not be the only type of battery that we have. It will be an addition to our battery portfolio, and we will have solid-state battery in those vehicles where this technology is most advantageous, while other vehicles might have a higher benefit from a standard lithium-ion technology, maybe an LFP with technology which is lower cost, or even in a hybrid vehicle, a nickel metal hydride battery, a technology which we are using since more than 25 years. However, is extremely well proven, highly durable and affordable. And therefore, also for certain type of vehicles and for certain markets in the future, definitely still suitable.
Where do we see hydrogen then? Because I know you're also developing a lot of, you've done a lot of experiments with hydrogen. Is it thinkable, for example, to have a plug-in hybrid running on hydrogen and then with a solid-state battery just to take some of the new techniques? You don't have to confirm that.
Well, theoretically, I think that's thinkable. Whether there is a customer that has an optimized use case for this technology combination, I think that is where we need to do some market research. But very clearly, we do see also hydrogen as one of the key technologies in the future. Hydrogen has extremely low emissions. There's no CO2 emissions. And with renewable hydrogen, the vehicles can really drive high loads and very long distances with a very fast, well, refueling, recharging, which will be much more difficult with battery technologies. We do see there for a hydrogen technology coming in first really on the heavy duty side and then being cascading to the lighter duty vehicles. We have shown, for example, a prototype of a Hilux developed here in Europe running on the hydrogen fuel cell as one of the potential applications. And we do see that therefore first coming from the heavy-duty truck side, hydrogen infrastructure will develop in Europe, and this will be then useful for hydrogen vehicles, as mentioned also here, rather on the higher loads, maybe towing vehicles or fleets like taxi fleets in certain areas like we have it already today in the Paris region.
And then I think we're going to see hydrogen in Le Mans within a very short future, next year or 2 years from now or something.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see hydrogen racing cars running there. I think the opportunity here again is for motorsports to be pioneering and the great test field for future mass production technologies that will be for the benefit of our customers, for the benefit of society, and very importantly, for the benefit of environment.
I know by experience it is possible for us to talk for 1 hour or 2 hours about these subjects. We don't have time for that. I thank you very much for this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.